Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, and I am sitting next to Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, in the midst of the Super Bowl and the Hall of Fame class of 2018 and all of these things, our attention was diverted for a while from this new look Green Bay Packers coaching staff, where we've had some coaches who are still here with new titles, other new coaches who have been brought in. So I want to focus this show on some of these stories here revolving around the Packers coaching staff for 2018. And I want to start with the guy who's maybe been here the longest out of everybody, and that's James Campen, longtime offensive line coach, a guy who doesn't like to take credit for anything, but now head coach Mike McCarthy has actually thrown some credit his way by giving him a new title of run game coordinator, a job that he's been doing. Now it's official next to his name.
Yes, exactly. And for him to get that recognition, I know is obviously a cool honor for him. Good luck getting him to talk about any of this stuff. If you know anything about Campy, he does not do well with getting credit for really anything. And I kind of wrote about this on Packers.com this past week. If you ever bring to him something that either somebody said or you point something out, the two things are going to happen. He's either going to create a self-deprecating joke or he's going to find a way to just wiggle into another topic.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, you know, do anything of that accord. You can tell it means a lot to him, but it's just something he doesn't want to talk about. And the interesting thing about Campy, I think ESPN.com did a story recently, or they had one of their stats and info things about how I think he's two seasons shy now of Hog Hanner, right, for the longest tenured assistant coach in Packers history.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's going into his 15th season. I think Hanner was 16, and then he also had a stint, I believe, as a scout as well.
Yeah.
But Campy, what he's done here, when you look at this track record, he was on staff. He assisted Joe Philbin, who's now back as the offensive coordinator with at the time was the offensive line coach, and then in 2007 got promoted to O-line coach himself. 9 Pro Bowlers during that time the Packers have had. Countless number of players, even more than that, who have gotten second and third contracts in the NFL. And at the end of the day, I think that's the biggest thing. You want to have the accolades, you want to have the Super Bowls, but these young men are trying to create a life for themselves. So whether it's been Brian Bulaga as a first-round draft pick or David Bakhtiari as a fourth-rounder, even, you know, undrafted players, Evan Smith was discarded. He was out of the league. Then he goes on and gets a long-term deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after becoming the Packers starter. So many guys. I mean, the proof is in the pudding with Campen that even if he doesn't want to take the credit, his track record, it's without match.
Yeah, a couple of seasons in Campen's tenure really stand out to me, one being just this past season because of all of the injuries and just the shuffling and guys having to play different spots, you know, Lane Taylor playing some left tackle, Justin McCray, who basically plays center, you know, all of training camp and, you know, then ends up playing both guard and some right tackle and even some left tackle. I think he was thrown in at one point. You know, you're going to have some hiccups along the way, but by and large, with all the changes that were going on, the Packers offensive line was not the issue in 2017. I think a lot of credit goes to James Campen for that. The other one that stands out to me, I go back to 2009. It was Aaron Rodgers' second year as starting quarterback, and I don't have all the numbers off the top of my head, but I remember in the first half of that season, Aaron Rodgers was getting sacked a ton. He was going down way too much. He was getting hit way too much. James Campen was under a lot of fire. A lot of fans were like, you know, hey, these look like some good offensive linemen here. What's wrong with our offensive line coach? We got to move on from this guy. You know, the typical fan knee-jerk reaction type of thing.
Yeah.
The second half of the season, the sack numbers dropped dramatically, and the Packers then went 7-1 the second half of the season to get into the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers made his first playoff appearance that year. A lot of credit to James Campen for weathering that storm, and he was able to block out all the outside noise and focus on his guys, and he got that offensive line playing the way he knew it was capable of playing. That's a season in particular with him as an assistant coach that I've always remembered.
Yeah, and specifically looking at this past year, the fact that the Packers were able to navigate this season, and it never became a big narrative of offensive line play, I think is an ultimate testament to him. I mean, you have to remember, Lane Taylor played 2 games at left tackle. Prior to those games, he'd never played the position before at any level of football. It was one spring game. He just, like, played with it at Oklahoma State. But even going back to high school, he was a guard.
Yeah.
He pushes out to left tackle, and a former undrafted free agent and was serviceable there. Justin McCray, a guy that had been out of the league, had been working at a hotel. He was in the Arena Football League. He makes 8 starts for this offensive line at various positions this season. Lucas Patrick was a serviceable offensive lineman as a former tryout player who had one offer in the NFL and was playing with a club on his hand. And then a guy like Corey Linsley gets a contract extension.
Right.
It's remarkable what the Packers have done. So whether or not Campen wants to take credit for it, if you just want to say, you know, the Packers have found some incredible linemen, whatever the source is of all this success, it's pretty remarkable what they've done, both in season in which guys stayed healthy, like 2014-15, and then times when guys didn't. They've been able to stem the tide.
Yeah, absolutely. With that, we'll toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, continuing our discussion about the coaching staff, another coach who is back with the Packers in 2018, but with a new title, is David Rye. And this is a guy who's had a number of different titles now on the Packers coaching staff. He broke in on Mike McCarthy's staff as a coaching administrator, if I believe.
Correct.
Then moved on to assistant offensive line coach. He worked with Coach Campen, with the guys up front. Then last year he was offensive perimeter coach, and now he is the wide receivers coach, taking over for Luke Getsy, who has moved on to a job with Mississippi State. So, and I tell you, you want a story about a guy laying it all on the line to get into the coaching business. Take a look at David Rye's story, because this is a guy who went from financially a fairly lucrative job as a medical equipment sales representative to essentially taking an unpaid job on Rick Neuheisel's UCLA staff. And now here he is. He's been in the NFL for a handful of years and a guy who's still climbing the ladder.
Yeah, and you talk about a guy that was probably tailor-made for sales. I mean, Rye has that kind of personality, very gregarious, extroverted type of individual.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if I was in his spot and I actually liked what I was doing, which it sounds like for the most part he was, I probably would have just stood pat, because it was a great opportunity that he had out in Beverly Hills, but he had a hankering to coach again, and he you know, played at Iowa, was actually there when Joe Philbin was the offensive line coach of the Hawkeyes, and he just wanted to be back in football, and basically went back into, you know, beg Rick Neuheisel for an unpaid internship, which eventually turned into basically like a, for lack of a better term, a grad assistantship for 2 seasons, and worked his way up from there. And I thought one of the interesting things from the conversation I had with him, how his coaching style, you have to be yourself when you coach if you're going to be successful. You can't try to be somebody else. But he's tried to take something from every stop along the way. He talked about Neuheisel, his charisma, and, you know, being with Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Kingsbury's always seen as kind of this chill guy, but he mentions how, you know, intense he is. You know, and Kirk Ferentz and the fundamentals at Iowa, and now in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. That offensive perimeter coach was interesting this past year because it allowed him basically to be on the hip of Mike McCarthy during game days. It was his responsibility when McCarthy needed information or there was certain things he was looking for. It was his job to basically facilitate that. And from McCarthy, he's seen, you know, really having that bulletproof mindset to adversity and finding ways to always overcome. And now he feels like that's prepared him for this latest opportunity now as the Packers receivers coach.
Yeah, and this is a guy who just absolutely loves football. Because you mentioned his career at Iowa. It's not like he was some star in the Big
right.
Ten. This is a guy who was a backup quarterback, you know, really kind of paid his dues. And even, you know, without much of a college career, so to speak, to hang his hat on as a player, just loved it so much that, you know, wanted to get back involved in coaching. And I love his personality. You mentioned that before. I'll never forget. It was actually a season ago, you know, the Packers coming off the 4-6 and the run the table and everything. You know, you win the last 6 games to get into the playoffs. I happened to bump into Coach Rye down in the team dining room right after the win over Detroit, as the Packers are then, you know, getting ready for the wild card game against the Giants. And just typically I'm like, you know, hey, Coach, how's it going? And he just looks at me and says, there's only 12 teams still playing, and we're one of them. It's going great. And but that's David Rye, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like you almost can't take the smile off the guy's face. I mean, he's got a very infectious personality and always a fun guy to talk to. And you know, I'll be interested to see now in this new role, wide receivers coach. He's replacing a popular coach. Lee Getsy was very well liked by his guys. Some tough shoes to step into, but if anybody can do it, it's Rye.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how their two stories have kind of been tied together, because you go back to that coaching administrator job that he got back in 2014, I believe it was. Him and Getsy were actually both interviewing at the same time for the offensive quality control post.
That's right.
As Mark Carthy said directly after it, after the announcement of the coaching staff had been made, you know, he said both of these guys knocked it out of the park. It was just that Getsy kind of put it a little bit farther.
A few rows deeper in the bleachers, yeah. Apparently. Yeah.
So they hired him for the offensive quality control position, but they basically created that coaching administrator role for Rye to come on staff. And then they've kind of followed each other up the internal ranks up until now. Getsy going on to Mississippi State as an offensive coordinator and receivers coach. So now Rye moves into that room. And as the offensive perimeter coach, he's been around the quarterbacks. He's been around the receivers quite a bit. He's excited about that. You know, he likes the steps that Devontae Adams has made. He's taken. He sees a lot of potential in that room and thinks that, you know, as he said, and going back to his kind of enthusiasm about everything, he's like, what an opportunity to coach these guys that are this talented and try to help them. He's like, that's something that's priceless for him.
Yeah, no doubt. With that, we'll toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, moving on to talk about one of the new coaches on the Packers staff for 2018, inside linebackers coach and defensive run game coordinator Patrick Graham. We talked about David Rye's interesting origin story with the medical sales job. This is another guy with quite a background. He actually starts as a chemical engineering major at Yale, playing on the football team, although he emphasizes he didn't really play. He pretty much rode the bench at Yale. But then he said he ran into having differential equations and thermal dynamics in the same semester, and he said something about you have to have one before the other, so he was completely lost. I stopped at calculus too and became a writer. I didn't even try calculus. I didn't go beyond that in math. But anyway, so he switches from chemical engineering to sociology, and then ultimately that leads to after college – he is essentially like a PR, you know, sort of newsletter writer type of guy in a job. But his old position coach at Yale asked him, you know, hey, do you want to get an MBA? And he was kind of like, yeah, maybe I'll get an MBA. Do you want to get your MBA paid for? And he says, well, yeah. And he says, well, and become an assistant coach and you can get a graduate assistant job and, you know, and go to graduate school. So he latches on at Wagner College, a tiny school in the Northeast, as a graduate assistant. And now here we are almost two decades later. He's been in the NFL for a long time. He still doesn't have his MBA because 1 month, he said, coaching at Wagner College, he decided coaching is what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. It's really quite a story. He's a really interesting guy to talk to, and it'll be fun to have him here in Green Bay.
Yeah, very well-spoken individual. You really get a feel for just probably, you know, how smart he is. I mean, you can look at the resume and obviously get that. You can't just walk into Yale and, you know, just be like, I want to go to college here.
And try to major in engineering, no less. Yeah.
But I just – you want to talk about an MBA program, not to make a crappy transition. But, I mean, you look at what his coaching roots and, you know, getting the chance to be with Bill Belichick for as many years as he was at the New England Patriots in these past couple seasons with the New York Giants and the defensive line success they've had there. It's been interesting to follow his trajectory. And now really gets a chance to go back, and while he is going to be the defensive run game coordinator – is also going to be coaching the inside linebackers position. So the Packers going back to a true inside linebackers coach, obviously Scott McCurley moving into his new position as a defensive assistant. And I just think that experience that Graham's going to bring in those life lessons he has over the course of his career, being able to bring that to a relatively young room, you know, Blake Martinez coming off the season that he had leading the league or being up there in tackles for the NFL, trying to tie all that together and also looking with some of the stuff that Joe Witt's going to be doing as a defensive pass game coordinator with the inside linebackers, I think bringing those two avenues together is really going to help that unit.
Yeah, his motivation as a professional is really interesting to explore, because he didn't shy away from the fact that he feels as a college football player at Yale, he didn't give it everything he should have. He shortchanged himself in the effort category in terms of trying to become really the best player he could have been. He says, ask my teammates at Yale. You know, I didn't put in the work that I should have. And that's really been his motivation to make the most of his coaching career. When he found that his passion is coaching, he's gone all in. And you get to work for the New England Patriots, the New York Giants, and now the Green Bay Packers. That says something about what you bring to the table. And this guy, he's still, as I say, he's going on almost two decades now in the coaching profession, and he's still extremely motivated to make the most of every opportunity that comes his way.
Yeah, he really did. And it was interesting that you obviously were part of the interview and wrote the story, but just me getting a chance to go back and listen to it, obviously a very articulate guy, but you can get a feel through those words, like a lot of coaches, but I mean, you can really get a feel for what this game means to him and how excited he is about this opportunity. And it's something else we pointed out in these last couple episodes too, the ties that bind everybody, again, coming over from New York with Frank Cignetti, the quarterback's coach for Eli Manning. There's a familiarity there with some of the guys already. So yep. I will be interested to see, first time since probably Dom Capers, I would think, in 2008, that they brought in a coach that was with Bill Belichick.
Right.
So I think that'll be interesting, too, to see what kind of flavor he brings to that position and in the defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With that, we'll toss to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, another new coach to discuss here is the Packers' new quarterbacks coach, Frank Cignetti. And again, you start looking into these guys' backgrounds and it does get kind of interesting. Frank Cignetti goes all the way back to 1989 on the University of Pittsburgh staff with Mike McCarthy. Cignetti was a graduate assistant. McCarthy was a volunteer assistant. I think that's when he was doing the whole toll booth thing, yeah, you know, in the middle of the night to make some money because he was coaching at Pitt for free. But these guys go back a long way, and it was interesting talking with Cignetti when he was introduced to the media. He said actually he moved on from Pitt to IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and when Mike McCarthy then was with the Kansas City Chiefs cutting his teeth in the NFL. And he said McCarthy would come back home to Pittsburgh at times in the offseason, and Cignetti was actually in the McCarthy's parents' living room watching practice tapes with McCarthy of Joe Montana and doing like the quarterback drills and stuff like that in Kansas City. So the history between these two guys goes back a long way, and now they did cross paths with the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator there, and Cignetti was on his staff. And now here they are again several years later, really almost two decades later, back on the same staff again. And this will be Frank Cignetti's sixth NFL team that he's worked for, but again, another guy who's pretty excited, and how can you not be excited to work with a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, and Cignetti's story is so interesting, too, because there are all the ties that are there with Mike McCarthy, but then also with Jim Hostler.
With Hostler,
the
yeah.
The new pass game coordinator.
Right.
Make sure I get that right. During their time at Indiana area, Pennsylvania,
IUP. That's what he calls it. He calls it IUP.
Make sure I get that right. But anyway, he ends up being in the Chiefs after McCarthy leaves. They get together with the Saints. McCarthy ends up going to the 49ers a couple years later after McCarthy's already left to come to the Packers. Cignetti ends up with the 49ers, and then now obviously together here in Green Bay. An interesting path that he's taken. And then also you look at some of these guys he's worked with. I mean, the past 2 years, it's a new system obviously he's coming into, but you know, Ben McAdoo basically ran a variant of what Mike McCarthy runs during his time in New York and you know, working with Eli Manning there. As you said, and you could tell the enthusiasm in his voice about working with Aaron Rodgers and getting the chance to help him and develop, you know, the quarterbacks behind him. It's a great opportunity, and it's a chance to, you know, help one of the best in the game, you know, really make sure he crosses his T's and dots his I's. And I think you look at every single coach that's come through Green Bay and has a chance to work with Aaron Rodgers and the relationship they've formed, it's a pretty special bond that room has.
Yeah, and his coaching career after the year at Pitt with Mike McCarthy, we mentioned him going to IUP. He was actually on his father's coaching staff. That was the school that he played for, and then he was also coaching with his dad, and the connections with Jim Hostler, you know, kind of filter their way through as well. Hostler and Cignetti and McCarthy were all on that New Orleans Saints staff in the early 2000s. And then actually when Hostler was on McCarthy's staff in San Francisco when McCarthy was offensive coordinator, when McCarthy leaves, Hostler becomes the offensive coordinator, and then he hires Cignetti as his quarterback's coach, bringing Cignetti back from a couple of other stints back in the college ranks, brought him back into the NFL with the 49ers. So it's kind of a crazy web that's been weaved here in the history, the personal histories of these guys, and it's really going to be interesting to see how it all comes together now when you add in Joe Philbin, James Camp, and these other offensive coaches that have been here in Green Bay, and now they're all together.
One of the things I think is going to benefit the Packers too is Cignetti's had experience as a coordinator as well. With the Rams, Hostler did it with the 49ers. Yep. Obviously, Joe Philbin's been a head coach in addition to being an offensive coordinator. So a lot of bright guys that have had big-time roles in the NFL in terms of managing offenses, constructing those game plans, and executing them. I think really when you look at how this matches up, there's a lot of things there, a lot of potential to have a lot of success.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see just what comes of it all with all these guys in the same meeting rooms together. But with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.